You're listening to the Stallion Nation Podcast, your number one source for Salt Lake Stallions news, stats, and exclusive content you won't find anywhere else. Join us, Champ, E-Rock, and P-Rex, as we move full steed ahead during the AAF season.
Stallions fans, it's time for Stallions Nation. P-Rex, you're laughing because we're back again, and I kind of paused there when I was about to introduce, but I got E-Rock and P-Rex on the show. Welcome to Stallion Nation.
It's good to be here.
Did you say my real name?
No, I said P-Rex.
Did you?
You say my name all the time.
I do.
Nobody knows my alias.
No one knows Champ's name.
Yeah.
Right,
well,
Sam?
No, son of a... Well, if we got to put it out there, you know. No, it's totally fine. This podcast is brought to you by Streamlet. Support Utah independent film by subscribing to Streamlet, the only streaming platform dedicated to real independent movies in all their weird and wild glory. Half of every dollar earned by Streamlet is paid out to filmmakers and license fees. That's pretty cool. Check out their deep library of cutting-edge films made in the last 5 years. And don't forget to use the code STALLIONS, STALLIONS, for half off a monthly or yearly subscription. Streamlet, thanks for making this podcast happen. Guys, we got to talk about the game that happened last week, first and foremost. Going into that game, we were pretty confident that the Stallions had a good shot of winning it.
Well, we did. And I think we did because of the weather. We kind of thought, hey, we got this, right? The thing that I think most fans probably don't think about, that I was thinking about the other day, Champ, is that we assume that since it's a Utah football team, they know how to play in the snow.
Right.
But from our interviews...
They're not all from Utah.
Most of them,
actually. Most of them are not from Utah.
Well, I mean, there's a good chunk from BYU, Utah. But even them may have not lived in Utah, right? So it's true. It's true.
Right. From our interviews, we know some of these guys on the roster don't even have a month on the team.
Yeah.
You know?
It's true.
And they're relocating from different places all over America. So,
I mean. Well, and even at the start of the season, you had... the first 2 weeks, they just stayed in San Antonio. They didn't even play in Utah. So they weren't playing in the cold. They weren't practicing in it until that week before the first game against the Hotshots. So it's true. It's not really home field advantage weather. They probably were struggling just as bad as the team that we were playing, which there is an advantage still, I think, though, because they're from Orlando. And they're from that geographic area. A lot of the players that do come to the Stallions are more of a northern geographic location.
Which means the elevation is working in your favor.
Right. And so I think Orlando didn't come in with a good, like, I think the Stallions had the edge with the weather, but it turned out that it really didn't make a difference. I think they both struggled, and for that reason, Orlando's just the better team.
Right. I mean, you could kind of tell both coaches were very reluctant in throwing the ball initially, especially in the first half.
Yeah.
It was all running game. And actually, Brandon Oliver got hurt, I think, in the third quarter. Mm-hmm. I don't know how he's doing, but I mean, he looked like he might have pulled something. I was kind of worried. I was like, not that Achilles.
I know, man. Brandon Oliver, he's been doing well for us. But we also have had a really good running with
Champs from practicing.
Boy, oh, cripes.
E-Rock.
Come on, you can do it.
Boy-on.
What is it, like chicken boy-on or something?
Come on, I just remembered it. We were looking
Bonio.
At it. Bonio.
Bonio.
Bonio. So it's crazy.
See, that sounds right. Because like, sounds like the way I remembered it is like, I was like, oh, Spanish word for bathroom. Bonio.
That is Bonio, not Bonio.
So now you know.
But now you do know. What were some of the things that you guys kind of took away besides the weather? The weather definitely played a factor. What were some things that you kind of took away from that game that maybe we could improve on as, you know, Stallions, right?
So for me, going into the game, I was kind of looking at it like, okay, you got top offense against potentially a top defense.
Yeah.
You know, and who usually wins in those situations?
Top offense.
Defense.
Okay, I guess nowadays it's top offense. But typically, you know, defense wins championships. I was expecting the Stallions to come out and just dominate defensively and win a close game, like a 15-12, something like that. And for the first half, that was accurate.
Yeah, that's
like
that...
well, it ended 6-3. Like that is exactly where the Stallions wanted it. But one of the things I noticed is that you can only play good defense for so long.
Right.
Yeah.
I was just about to highlight that. I think we're starting to see a real pattern with the Stallions. Their defense is stellar, right?
Oh yeah.
They absolutely are. And Orlando has a stellar offense, and you could see that as well, even in the snow.
For sure.
But it happens every game with us that our first half defensive performance is always going to outshine our second half performance.
Yeah.
We get tired on defense, and you can see it.
And you know what this kind of reminds me of? Okay, I always reference the Chiefs just because I have to.
Weird.
I know, right? but a few years ago, we had one of the top-ranked defenses, which is weird to think because obviously this year we have one of the worst. But, okay, we had one of the best defenses, but our offense was garbage.
Garbage.
And so for the first half, we dominate. Our defense was great. But then our offense was constantly, you know, three and out. And so come second half, our defense is tired. They're gassed. They can't do it anymore. And so that shutout 6-point game they'd only allowed all of a sudden turns into 20 points because they're still constantly on the field.
Right, right.
So at some point, that offense has to step up.
And I think that's where our weakness is. Though we have an offense that has a great running game, we cannot get it into the red zone when it matters most. Get it into the end zone, right? So I think the offense really needs to step up their game. Did we get a new offense? No, we got a new defensive coordinator.
A new defensive coordinator.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, he stayed pretty much on par.
Yeah.
The thing.
Yeah.
I got a question for you guys. Did it seem like we were a little too conservative on offense throughout the entire game?
I would say yes, and yeah. I think a weather played a part of that, like you had mentioned.
I understand that.
Things
but
went slow.
Guys couldn't cut. They're like rounding the corners in a way.
Right, right. I'm just saying, like, some of those calls, I feel like were a little bit questionable.
Sure.
Right. I saw multiple times where our run game was not gaining any momentum.
Yeah.
Right. And they were expecting the run, right? So we kind of
especially after Buono's big sweep to the outside. What was it, a 20-yard run, maybe 15-yard run?
Something around there.
Breaks a tackle, gets the one score that the Stallions got. And it looked dope. I mean, this guy's basically ice skating out there.
Yeah.
but he punched it in, and so I think after that, really they're like, okay, we're just going to stop the run. Let's dare Woodrum to throw. And unfortunately, it didn't pay off because Woodrum only threw for 161 yards. He was 16 of 22, which
is pretty good percentage.
Which is pretty good.
Yeah. A couple of other observations that I had. Defensively, I think we did good, but there are still a lot of things I think we could do better. I was looking at like the third and fourth down defense, which is kind of what killed us because we first down, we would stop them. Second down, we'd do okay, but then third down, it'd be third and long or fourth and two, and it's like, you got to stop them.
They'd give it up.
Exactly.
Ugh, yeah.
So getting better at that point, some of the receivers were getting open, and when you look at the routes the other team was running, they weren't necessarily crazy. They were just, they'd run and then do a quick button hook.
Yeah, yeah.
And our guy just wasn't ready for it.
Well, I mean, again, they were on ice skates as well, so that's not as easy to get traction.
You know what's funny about that ice skating comment there,
what?
Champ? So, did you guys notice that the Apollo's quarterback was getting knocked down every play?
Every single time.
He complained to the ref, and like on that following play, the ref called the flag because it was a late hit. But I mean,
oh, that was a big late hit.
Yeah.
I mean, it was
but
great.
Was it worth it?
It was worth it.
It was worth it.
And dude, that's what I love about the AAF. I mean, it's just, it's football, man. And it was just fun to watch in the snow. I mean, I haven't seen an NFL game in the snow in a long time. And so to see that play with our hometown Stallions, it was just a fun time. They also had the horse. They brought a horse out.
They brought a horse
game.
Out. Even had a horse mask.
Was that the one like running around the stadium?
No.
Prancing?
No, not that guy.
I'm sure that guy was there, though.
Guy, if you're listening, we want you on the show.
Yeah. The other thing, too, the attendance was, get this, only down by about 1,000, just a little more than 1,000 from the first home game.
See, I think that speaks highly.
It does, because you would think if it was nice weather, we would have, I think, almost doubled.
And it was snowing like the entire game.
And you had 9,000 fans out there.
No, I bought tickets to the game, but because of my obligations, I was unable to go.
Unfortunately.
But as I was going through my obligations, I was thinking, like looking outside, I'm like, man, it would have been cold out there.
It would have been cold. But all those Stallions fans, God bless you. You know, you did what you had to do to support our home team. And that's what we need to do to keep this thing alive. So keep doing it, right?
Exactly. So are we going to talk about trending news, champ?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Well, what trending news item do you want to talk about?
Well, there's a couple things that just ring off the top of my head.
All right, let's ring it.
Okay.
Bling, bling.
AAF spokesperson says that Johnny Manziel is about 50%.
I did see that.
In his transition to becoming an AAF player.
Ooh, saucy man.
Now, he's not going to play for the Stallions, but I think that would be...
I'm sorry.
You got to give me a heads up.
50% through his transition?
Dude, it's just like 50% he's good to go. The other 50% is he has to pass the drug test.
He's still coming down.
Is this like a game where like it's a leveling up? It's 50% through, but then the internet just cuts?
No, I mean, I said it on the previous podcast, but I think the AAF needs a player like Johnny Manziel. Even if he isn't going to do anything, He's a name.
He brings viewers.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with that, and I think if he does play, people are going to watch.
I
mean, so
I would watch.
I'm going to watch.
I'd totally watch
You him. Would, P-Rex.
Hey,
just kidding.
How dare you?
How dare I? What other trending news items are out there these days?
You ready
days?
For the next one?
Let's hear it.
NFL is considering implementing a sky coach.
Or a cam.
Judge.
Sky judge. Sky captain.
Sky captain. Captain!
Well, I think it's a great idea. I mean,
oh yeah, no, I think it's an absolutely great idea, and the fact that it's actually making an impact to influence the NFL in their decision making, that's pretty cool. I thought that was awesome.
So sweet. How different is that than how they already have it? Don't they already have a crew in like New York or something like that they defer to?
They do have a crew, but the problem is that crew cannot make decisions that are happening on the field because they're not there.
And they can't overturn it, right? They can't come back and be like, hey, reset the clock back to this previous point. You're going to redo that one, and you're going to tell the refs that they were wrong. That's not how it goes in the NFL.
No.
In the NFL right now, if a team knows they got away with something, they're running up to that line and they're snapping the ball.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, they are.
And there's no benefit to do that in the AF, right? Because if it's wrong, they're going to overturn it.
Well, and we saw it in the first home game against the Hotshots. Another play already went, and then it came back. Like, they played it, and they said, no, this changes the outcome of the game. We're going to change it. And they did, and the crowd went nuts
because
everybody saw that it was a legit score. But then it passed, and we're like, no, come on. And then it came back, and we got the points, and we won that game. 1-3 Stallions, come on, we got to get some W's, right? Which actually brings us to our next point. I want to talk power rankings, all right?
Okay.
Power rankings in the AAF, they never make sense, right, P-Rex?
Actually, I'm going to disagree. I saw a lot that I really agreed with.
Now, I saw one that I don't agree with. Now, I'm curious what all of your current spots are for the Stallions in a power ranking. If you were to power rank the Stallions, there's 8 teams, so they can only go up to 8. So where do you place the Stallions based on their performances through 4 weeks?
Okay, so ultimately the wins matter, right?
Sure.
I've been seeing a lot of power rankings placing the Stallions at 5, and I feel like that's accurate.
Get this. A hooker, a nun, a Flemish peasant woman, corn-fed harvest mouse, whips, chains, whistles, yo-yos, a circus midget, my grandmother on a bicycle giving me the finger and a duck.
Oh, my gosh.
It was wild. Now, the other thing I saw on Twitter.
Can't believe you remember it.
I know, right? I love that. Black sheep for all of you Chris Farley fans. So anyway, on this specific Instagram page, they ranked the Stallions dead last.
Yeah, and I feel like that's not due diligence, right? I agree they're in the lesser categories, right?
Sure.
But they should have technically 2 wins and 2 losses right now.
I think you can make a compelling argument that they should be around number 5 or so. Because when you're looking at it, I just have it up here. They are last in the West Division, but everyone else in the division is 2-2. They're right there.
Right. So,
and then on the other side, you have two teams that are also 1-3.
Sure. Yeah.
So
now the Express and the what's the purple and
Atlanta,
gold team? The Crowns? The Crowns, Royals?
Royals, something like that.
Atlanta Legends.
Legends.
The Legends.
That's it.
Well, the, obviously,
you see the Crown.
We don't really follow them that much. But anyway, both of those teams got their first wins. So with that, that's why people, or maybe that person, put the Stallions at last, because now the 0-3 teams go to 1-3, making them this week, you know, power ranked. But you can't do that.
And their win was more recent.
Base it on a recent win only.
Yeah, I think it's irresponsible, honestly, because I mean, looking at those 1-3 teams, who do you think is the best one? Obviously, the Stallions.
Yes.
Right?
Absolutely.
I mean, if you just look at the stats between all of them, I think.
Not just the stats, but all previous games and what they have ahead of them, right? In the previous games, they should have beat Birmingham. They were down a field goal, and if we would have just made one of the three we missed, then we would have won that game probably.
Still an open world there.
Go back
there,
to the previous episode. We will go into detail about that.
But Bertolette has hit some good ones, so
yes.
can't complain. Did you guys see that Utah kicker kicking 55 yarders in practice? He was a Utah kicker. We should just bring him on. I mean, he's booting it. I think it'd bring fans. What we got to do is bring the locals in, you know? I think that would bring a lot of people into the stands. But the power rankings, I think the Stallions sit probably around 6 or 7 for me right now.
Yeah.
Based on previous games, how they haven't been able to close. I feel like that's kind of like the pain point that the Stallions are hitting right now. They just can't close. And I don't know if that's a coaching problem. I don't know if that's just a player problem. You got to play all four quarters, right?
I think it goes back to the offense, honestly.
Yeah.
They're in it for the first half. I mean, the best team in the league was held to 6 points and only 2 scores when they're normally scoring 30 points.
That's a great point.
And we held them down really low. It's just we couldn't do anything in that first half and really even in the second half.
And it gasses our defense too, right?
Like it does. It's notable how gassed they get.
Yeah.
But again, I'm kind of falling back on this. I think Erickson was a little conservative with his play calling. I think even in the snow, I really think the passing game was looking really good from Woodrum. Right, and we didn't use that enough as much as we should have.
Sure. Okay. Well, any other trending news items, things you guys want to talk about when it comes to the power rankings? Well, who's number one, obviously, in the power rankings? It's Orlando.
It's Orlando. Well, they're projected to win the whole thing.
Right, and I mean, it makes sense. They can score a lot, and they have an offense and a defense that's running pretty smooth.
Well, I guess there's still another trending news item we haven't talked about, champ.
What would be that?
The introduction of 8 new teams to the AAF.
8? Where did you hear that?
You didn't hear about this?
No, I heard 4.
No.
When did it jump to 8?
There are 8 proposed new teams.
Oh, and there's even locations that have been decided. Now, is this legit news, or is this coming from different sources?
Like, fresh from the Onion.
Yeah. Random buddy down the street, you know?
I forget the source, but I did see...
Probably Booger McFarland.
Oh, dude, get Booger out of the way, man, that guy.
I did see that they're looking to add 8 new teams.
Do you
remember any of the locations?
Two of them were in Nebraska.
One was in Oklahoma.
I thought was surprising.
Are there even 2 cities in Nebraska?
Yes.
Bazinga. Sorry for all you listeners.
Bazinga.
I've driven across that great state a lot.
Yeah, you have. I mean, being from Kansas City makes sense. Isn't Kansas City in Kansas?
Get out of here. I'm going to run you out of town.
Yeah, he hates that. but anyway, so did you find it, P-Rex? Locations?
I'm still finding
still
it.
You're still
searching it. For it.
Now, E-Rock.
Yes.
If there was one state that deserves a football team, what would you pick?
So we know that the South is well covered.
Yes.
Since Utah is the farthest north.
Correct.
Yeah.
So getting a north team, that makes sense, yeah.
Exactly. Now, I think you could easily do one in the Pacific Northwest. It's like your Oregon or Washington. I'd probably do like an Oregon, like a Portland area to get that area.
Yeah.
And then I'd also throw some into like, you know, Virginia or Pennsylvania, some of the Northeast a little bit.
Yeah. I could go on board with that. Rhode Island, man. Give Rhode Island Why a not? Team, you know? Sure, it's small market.
Yeah, so Oklahoma City, I'm just trying to go off of like what I saw. It was Oklahoma City, Nebraska is getting a team, Ohio. I think maybe it was Ohio that's getting two teams.
Nebraska wouldn't make sense for one. Ohio would. I mean, you have like Cleveland and Cincinnati. And
but I was kind of looking for like, you know, those niche markets that don't really see a lot of football, you know, like Montana.
Yeah, dude. I'd
which would have been amazing.
Represent, man. That'd be so sweet.
Yeah, I mean, we're big on football up in Montana, and most people think we still ride around in wagons, which is only partially true, all right? So, like...
It is only partially
get true. Off of your bandwagon of prejudices.
Oh, that's true. Before we jump into Streamlit Stallion of the Week, I wanted to give a shout-out to someone on Twitter. We have AAF Fantasy News. They followed us and they have submitted and has shared our podcast quite a bit. So just wanted to give a shout out to them. Thanks for following us, guys, and thanks for supporting our podcast. So let's do the Streamlit Stallion of the Week, Joel Buono. Did I get it?
Nailed it, man.
Nailed it, man. That's our guy.
Still probably saying it totally
I know,
wrong.
Right?
But that's how the announcer said it at the game, so that's how we got to do it.
That's right. So let's get into Streamlit Stallion of the Week right now.
Streamlit Stallion of the Week.
Streamlit Stallion of the Week. Now, this is usually when we've had an interview with a Salt Lake Stallions player. Unfortunately, we weren't able to get anybody. Hopefully, in the near future, we can use some of our connections to get an offensive player on to the show. We've interviewed two defensive players, so it'd be good to get an offensive perspective, kind of hear their story. But going back to last week's story, so cool. Luke Carrizola. Did you guys love the title of the podcast? It was From Mop to the Top. It's so impressive, man.
It is.
This guy's mopping floors, and the next thing you know, he's playing for a pro football team. Just, he gets to live his dream. And then Carter Schuld a few weeks ago. He's still leading the league in sacks. He didn't get a sack this game, though. So he went three straight games getting at least a sack.
Uh-huh.
But
he's still leading. He's still leading by one, though.
He is still leading, and I expect the King of the North to put some to rock those babies as we so lovely found out that he does when he gets a sack. So anyway, this week's Streamlit Stallion of the Week is none other than the guy that we could never say his last name, but thanks to E-Rock and P-Rex paying attention to that, because when I'm listening, I'm not listening to the broadcasters as much. I'm focusing in, trying to read the defense, you know, trying to read the offense. I'm really, really not listening to how they say their names. But Joel Buono, right? Born March 28th, 1995. He is a running back for the Salt Lake Stallions. You guys know where he played college? Any guesses?
Alabama.
Nah, dude. Come on, man. No, it's Northern Illinois University. So exactly.
That, dude, that was my second guess.
Oh, geez. Yeah, right. That's where Carter went, too. So.
No, he went to Northern Iowa.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Come on, man. We talked to him.
Wait. It wasn't Northern Illinois?
I thought it was
Carter
Iowa.
Went to Iowa.
Yeah.
Northern
okay,
Iowa.
Okay, eyes. There's eyes.
Born and raised in Iowa,
okay,
man.
Okay, easy now.
Must be a Midwestern thing.
Must be. So he's 6'2". He's 225 pounds, and he went to Northern Illinois. Now, he did enter into the NFL as an undrafted free agent. Pop quiz. Just guess. Where did he go? Do you guys know?
The Packers.
Close. He went to the Bears. Okay, so he actually was an undrafted for the Chicago Bears in 2017, remained there, and then he got on the practice squad for three more football teams. Now, get this.
Which is almost unfortunate with the Bears, because I think they drafted, was it Cohen that same year?
Yep, yep.
So there was
so
a
he
lot
didn't
of competition
have as much a shot
Howard.
There. Which, by the way, news on the NFL
they're
front.
They're shopping him.
They're shopping him, man. They're shopping Howard. I'd love to see Howard in a Broncos jersey. Anyway, so after Chicago, he went to Green Bay. And then after Green Bay, he went to Detroit. So he's like, oh, the NFC North, I might as well. So he scurried on through the NFC North, basically, and then went to the Jets for a stint, and now he currently plays for the Salt Lake Stallions. Get this, too. He's a two-time Illinois All-State running back. In 2015, he was first-team All-MAC running back, and in 2016, he was second-team All-MAC running back. So the guy's got some good accolades, some good stats. I really think he is a difference maker on the Stallions field. When we watched the game against Orlando, I mean, he had that run. He had the one score that we had. And he's been punching it in for us. He's been running people over. I think he's an integral part to this offense. What do you guys think?
Well, he's considered our power back.
Right.
Right? So he's the guy that we give the ball to drive it up the field. Yeah, I think he struggled a little bit in this last week.
Well, I mean, it was snowy.
Yeah, so. It was snowy. It was. but I don't know. Again, from my perspective, it felt like if they would have alternated between the run and the pass game, I think we could have seen a lot more success.
Sure.
For far too long in that game, it just felt like repetitive run plays.
Yeah.
Which, you know, defense is going to acclimate to that. So.
Truth. But Joel Buonio is our Streamlit Stallion of the Week. We want to thank our sponsor for making it happen. If you haven't yet, go follow us on social media, gosh dang it. Right?
Yeah.
P-Rex, E-Rock?
Yeah, there's a perk to following us.
There is. We still have tickets that we're going to be giving away to one lucky winner, and you get to bring a friend. We're giving two tickets away thanks to our sponsor, Streamlit. So that game will be against the Express on March 16th. Drawing is happening on March 15th. That's the Friday just before the game. And what we will do is we will purchase them, and however we receive them, you're going to get them that way. So you might have to receive it digitally. You might have to receive it physically. We'll see how we get it when we buy them. But we're going to be purchasing those to give away this next coming Friday. Not tomorrow, but a week from now. So go share it with your friends. Follow us at SL Stallions Podcast on Facebook and Instagram, and SL Stallions Pod on Twitter. And make sure you go subscribe to our podcast. Leave a review. It gives you 5 extra entries into that opportunity. It doesn't have to be a 5-star review. You just got a review. Just give us some feedback. I mean, some lady told us that our music was really bad. So I guess we'll look at our
That
our
was
music.
About it. She didn't really say anything else.
Yeah, but that was it. I don't know if she was trolling or not. You know who you are. So if you're listening, you're pointing you out.
Yeah.
So don't focus on the music. Focus on the content. This is where you get exclusive news in a funny way about the Stallions football team. So anyway, go follow us. So to finish the show, we want to talk about and preview the game ahead. We travel to San Diego to take on conference foe, the Fleet. We haven't played them yet, but we've seen them play in other games. And their current record is 2-2, correct?
That's correct.
So this is critical because even though we're 1-3, we still have a shot to make it to the playoffs. All we have to do is beat our conference opponents because that's how it works. If you win in conference, you got a better shot of making the playoffs.
Right. No, there's only 8 teams. There's less competition. 1-3 doesn't really mean much right now.
It's
so
true.
I mean, maybe fans are getting a little discouraged that we have 3 losses, but, I mean, those games were close, and we're still in it.
We're just 1 game behind.
However, Vegas odds put San Diego on a 6-point differential for them winning the game. So the Fleet are the favorite going into this game.
It makes sense. It's at home. They have the better record. We're coming off a loss. I guess the Fleet are too, right? They just lost to the Express.
Mm-hmm.
And the Express got their first win against the Fleet, so I think that might be, you know, it's good for us.
It's definitely good for us. Now, I got a question for you. On that same betting line, they're putting it over under 36. What do you guys think? Total score, 36, over or under?
I'd say under, just based off of the fact that I haven't seen the Stallions score a whole lot. I think they average about 16 a game, and I think
I'd be interested to see the Commanders' defensive stats.
Sure.
And I haven't looked that up, so.
No, the Fleet.
Oh, yeah.
Commanders, San Antonio.
Yeah. The Fleet, sorry.
Right. So the game's going to be on NFL Network. It's going to be aired at 6 p.m. Mountain Time. So if you want to watch it, go watch it. I'm going to say it's going to be under as well, under 36. And what are you guys' predictions?
Well, did you guys see the hashtag that they're using for this game?
What's that?
They're using hashtag freeze the fleet.
Yeah, dude. Hashtag freeze the fleet. You're going to see us using it. Well, it's true. We gotta do something, and if it means freezing the fleet, then let's do that. Some takeaways that get pointed out as we kind of go into this, the betting odds in Salt Lake versus San Diego. Salt Lake did lose their last game. Josh Woodrum did play a really good game. He was 16 of 22. Brandon Oliver was 52% on the field, or 52% of the carries load last week. But because he kind of got that injury, they did sign a new running back this week. Did you see that?
I did see that.
The Stallions did sign Terrell Newby. Now you kind of question what's the role of Matt Asiata in all this?
Is he still hurt?
I don't think so.
I don't know. Yeah.
We will have to look that up because it's true. If we're signing a running back, it looks like we're going to get a couple here. Brandon Oliver has a groin injury, and it looks like here they do have Matt Asiata back on the roster, according to this report on Action Network. So if that source is correct, then we may see Matt Asiata being that number two with Buonio. Yeah. Thank you, at number one. We also have Pearsonell, who did play 79% of the offensive snaps last week. Definitely putting the load on a lot of the receivers, but we didn't really see a receiving game for the Stallions. So for the fleet, though, E-Rock, you said you kind of looked at a little bit of tape on the fleet.
Yeah, I did my scouting
report.
You
did your scouting. Okay, yeah. Give us just a rundown. What's the fleet's strong point? Their quarterback is out. Their starting quarterback did get hurt, the guy that got rocked in week one.
Oh, my gosh.
His head got taken off. He is out, so they have their backup. So that could deem good for us. I know it's never right to wish bad things upon him, but I didn't wish it. It just happened.
That'll be interesting. So the Fleet have a very similar team to us offensively where they're pretty well balanced.
Sure.
They have 683 total passing yards and 591 rushing yards. So they're pretty similar. I actually didn't know about the quarterback being injured.
Yes, he's still out according to sources. And again, sources are limited when it comes to the AAF and its news. So take it for a grain of salt. But
I think general knowledge overall. I know a lot of my friends. Like, I'm like, hey, I'm doing a podcast about the AAF, Salt Lake Stallions in particular. And they're like, the what? What is the AAF? Is that like arena football? I'm like, dude, where you been? Are you even a football fan?
Do you live under a rock?
Like, one of my close buddies. Patrick. One of my close buddies. He's like, yeah, no, I don't know what that is. And I showed him that clip of that quarterback getting rocked.
And he's like, I'm going to start watching.
If that doesn't get you jacked, I don't know what will.
He definitely got jacked.
So Champ threw an audible in there because I didn't know that there was the injury on the QB.
Yep.
And
hurry.
That QB Omaha for the that QB for the Fleet, I was actually kind of excited for him to play because I don't know if you guys saw him play at all against the Express, but he's one of those guys that he tries to extend the play a little bit too much. Sure. He dances around the pocket, and I think he got hit like three times and fumbled it each one, and then there are other times where he'd roll around trying to extend the play, and he just tosses it right to the defender.
So you're saying that we needed him to play so that we could succeed better?
He's a mobile-type quarterback.
Here's the thing. If you think that the secondary QB isn't going to have a higher possibility of making those same sort of plays for us, then, you know.
So what I did notice, though, is that they did tend to do a lot of passing plays, and those passing plays were a lot of short routes, so a lot of crossing routes, things like that, a lot of slants. And they were getting pressured a lot by the defensive line. So in my take, I think the Stallions need to pressure the heck out of the quarterback, especially if it's the backup. He's not going to be as practiced. So Carter Scholl and company needs to just dominate that line, get up there, and then play a lot of press coverage.
Yeah.
So you can shut down those quick routes expecting your D-line to get up there.
Dude, great point. So pressure, number one key. What are two other key factors that are going to hopefully lead to a Stallions win this weekend? I think for me, it's got to be offense. You have to get going, and more so on the pass. Do you know the one game that we dominated and won successfully and we played a better football game was against the Hotshots at home? And what happened? Pearsonell went off. He had 125 yards, 8-for-8 reception. I mean, if you have that kind of a game, yeah, you're going to win a ball game. You have to get the offense going. We have a good run game. It's kind of iffy now that Brandon Oliver's out with the groin injury, but we have Buonio, Matt Asiata backing up. We signed the other running back. You have to get that offense going, especially in the pass.
Yeah, I completely agree, Champ. I think we got to get the passing game going. It's getting better week in and week out. I mean, it's definitely getting better. I mean, Woodrum was what, 16-for-22?
Yeah.
That's really good.
That is good.
Considering the conditions, that's excellent, you know? And I'm pretty sure he's just going to keep improving on that. So.
Yeah, no, I agree.
One thing to keep an eye out, too, would be our offensive line. I did notice the Fleet against the Express got a lot of pressure on there. So their front seven were just vicious. So if our offensive line can hold up against that, I think we've got a fighting chance.
Okay, so put pressure on their quarterback, get the pass game going, and get that offensive line to put up a good wall for Josh Woodrum to have some time. Those are great points. I think that's a good preview. That will be our show. That is Stallion Nation. Thanks so much for listening. We love the fact that we are gaining followers on our social media, but that doesn't mean that you have to stop sharing our stuff. We're going to be posting periodically. We're going to be sharing this episode. Make sure you go check us out on social media because we do have those tickets to give away for the home game. I know a lot of people are excited. I posted on the Facebook post today saying, hey, there's one more week. Get excited. There were about 4 or 5 gifts of people just cheering because they know that they might get the game tickets. So get excited. Go
you've,
share
you've
that
got
with
a very good, we, very good odds.
Yeah,
right?
You do because, I mean.
We're just getting started up. You know, we're brand new, just like the team. And we're trying to get people to come listen to us as we go through this journey. So.
And we gave you some options. You don't just have to go like us and share it. You can also go into the store, go subscribe in iTunes, and go follow us on CastBox. Leave a review. Give us some feedback. Tell us how we're doing. If the music is bad, we'll take a look at it, all right? Gosh. But anyway, thanks so much for listening, Stallion Nation. As always, we end with a shout-out. I am the champ.
Rock.
P. Rex.
And we will catch you next week on the Stallion Nation podcast. Full steed ahead. Go Stallions.